you 11s. As promised, I'm just going to do a little podcast just discussing the character of Dr. Jekyll as that's your focus for the essay this week. Sorry, this is taking a bit long. It's a bit bogged down. Let's just first obviously acknowledge the fact that when you have a character analysis of Jekyll, you can, of course, include information about Hyde, because Jekyll is, of course, Hyde. And I think as you go through the story, Hyde's influence over Jekyll obviously becomes stronger and stronger. So Dr. Jekyll kind of has this split personality when he takes his potion during the story. He goes from being someone who is a pillar of society. You know, obviously doctor has connotations of being very well respected, intelligent, things like that. But he has this other side to him, and this constant battle between good and evil, this sort of duality, really comes across in his character. So he struggles to identify really between good and evil, and creates a solution, well, what he believes is a solution, to overcome this inner battle by having this separate aspect of his personality come out through Hyde. So I'm just going to talk through one of the quotes here where we really get to see a lot of his inner conflict. So the thoughts of his mind, besides, were of the gloomiest dye. And when he glanced at the companion of his drive, he was conscious of some touch of that terror of the law and the law's officers, which may at times assail the most honest. So this here really describes a man who's lost, who has this inner conflict and is trying to find a way to solve it. But his thoughts here are really distorted, and his actions seem somewhat indescribable. His mixed personality kind of causes his disgruntled thoughts, as well as his sort of crazy actions when he takes over the character of Hyde. And these things kind of go to show that there is actually possibly quite a lot of evil that is hiding within Jekyll. Now, I know that if you've listened to the previous podcasts on the context or Mr. Neal's 3-minute theories, then we've obviously got how Jekyll breaks down really the Freudian psychoanalysis. So the idea that the mind is split into different parts, and Jekyll might be one of those parts, and obviously Hyde then is the embodiment of the id. But physical changes actually begin to occur during the story. As Hyde becomes stronger, Jekyll becomes weaker, he becomes frail, he stops being seen in public, and the potion is affecting him really, really negatively. So there we could kind of have this sort of symbolic idea perhaps of drug addiction, and how he becomes quite agoraphobic, you know, the idea of being afraid to go out, afraid to be seen. He needs to kind of stay within himself. All of these things really cause a lot of worry with Utterson, who is our main sort of narrator. And actually, they make the reader really question what on earth is going on with Jekyll. You know, as he starts out, he's very respectable. He's someone who he has every mark of capacity and kindness, is how he is described. So he's very acceptable socially, and really when we think of this time period, he's doing all the right things. You know, he's a man about society, he's an ambitious man of science, and that side of him is one that Stevenson explores quite thoroughly. So Jekyll experiments in transcendental medicine, which shows obviously that he's very, very intelligent. However, we also know that what he's doing is extremely controversial. He falls out with Dr. Lanyon because of his, quote, unscientific balderdash. And it's described as, quote, fanciful work, which shows that it is perhaps outside of the boundaries of what would normally be acceptable. So the normal things that happen in science, perhaps we're moving into the realm of pseudoscience here, or into the supernatural and the mystical, things that aren't quite as black and white as scientific inquiry normally is. Okay, I'm just going to talk through this extract, which is where Utterson sort of first questions Jekyll about Hyde. And we've got here, the large, handsome face of Dr. Jekyll grew pale to the very lips. So here we have pale, he's looking ill. This is when Utterson mentions Hyde. And then another thing they say here is a blackness about his eyes. So wherever we have blackness, connotations of evil, doom, and eyes really are often seen as symbolic, like a window to the soul, they're often said. So Utterson replies, "What I heard was abominable," said Utterson. "It can make no change. You do not understand my position," returned the doctor, with a certain incoherency of manner. "I am painfully situated, Utterson. My position is a very strange one. It is one of those affairs that cannot be mended by talking." So we've got pain there, we've got the idea of mending, which implies that something is really broken here. And he then plays on his relationship with Utterson. He says that, "You know me, I am a man to be trusted." So that really gives us an insight there of the Jekyll that everybody knows. This side of him is extremely trustworthy, is extremely respectable. He's referred to as the doctor constantly, which is reinforcing his position in society. He then thanks Utterson and reassures him that he can control the situation. He says, "I will tell you one thing. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde." Obviously here the reader are kind of, we're getting our clues, we're getting this foreshadowing that perhaps it isn't as simple as that, and perhaps Jekyll's perceived control is not quite the same as his actual control over Hyde. He finally concludes one of this passage by saying, "I beg of you to let it sleep." Now sleep here could be a motif that Stevenson is using, because we've got this idea of sleep and nightmares and dreams, and it's very linked with like an alternate reality, and the idea of sleep and when you're at peace is something perhaps that's being referenced here. So that's an interesting thing to note, the connotations of sleep and whether, you know, Jekyll will ever be truly at peace again. When Jekyll turns into Hyde, he's very much like an animal, and he creates strong feelings of hatred and unease. But I don't want to talk too much about when he is there as Hyde. I want to treat them as separate people, as in fact they are, until the very, very end when we discover the truth. It seems like Jekyll and Hyde are in lots of ways opposites, which goes quite nicely.